All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring. Fans, to the latest episode of 2 Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female boxing world. This is episode number 35. My name is Felipe Leon, and like always, my co-host, Mr. David Avila. David, how you doing?
Very good, Felipe. How are you?
Good, thank you. Just trying to deal with the heat. Hopefully, it's not as hot. It gets hot over there where you're at than where I'm at, but it's pretty hot out here. You want to give us a call and talk about female boxing, you surely can at 323-580-5735, 323-580-5735. And unfortunately, we don't have any of our female co-hosts, neither Amy Green or Elena Baby Doll Reed could make it tonight, but we are going to have a female component here in the 2 Minute Round when Miss Amanda Serrano, the multi-divisional world champion, will call in and give us an update not only on her next fight, which should be happening next month at the Barclays Center, but also on her future plans inside of boxing or outside of boxing and inside the world of MMA. So before she calls in about 15 minutes, let's get started with a little bit of the boxing female review and go back a couple weeks to the latest results and talk about some of these fights. There was a lot of fights that happened in the last couple of weeks, starting on Friday, October the 13th, in San Juan, Costa Rica. Ana Gabriel defended her WBO 154-pound title with the unanimous decision over Oxandia Castillo. There was a rematch. I believe, though, Castillo had beaten her in the first time with the TKO, correct, David?
Yes, it was a one-punch knockout.
Yeah. But now Hannah Gabriel was able to see the end of the fight, and not only that, but win it with scores of 97-92 and 96-93 two times. Whereas the same night, but in San Juan, Argentina, the Argentina Leonela Paola Yudica defended her IBF flyweight title against Japanese Yunoka Furukawa with dominating scores of 192 times and 99-91. So she remains the IBF flyweight champion. Like we talked about in our last show, if Jessica Chavez wants to make a move, it might be against Yudica, or if not, Montserrat Alarcón, who is the WBO flyweight champion, who has not made a defense just yet. They said it was going to happen this fall, and it hasn't happened. Now, the same night in Australia, Susie Ramadan came back and scored a second-round TKO over late sub Suma Lee Tongputorn in a scheduled six-rounder at 115 pounds, whereas in London, Natasha Jones scored a third-round TKO over another late sub, Mariana Gulas, who was down in every round, the first, the second, and the third, in a scheduled six-rounder at 135 pounds, and the official time there was 1:23. Do you know who is the promoter, Natasha Jones, David? Is she promoted by Eddie Hearn? I don't think so, right?
You know what? I did read something that she is promoted by a major promoter, but I forget who it was. I don't want to say Eddie Hearn's our matchmaker, but I'm not really positive.
I would just think that if she was by Eddie Hearn, she would be getting a lot more fanfare and be a little bit more known than she is right now. Former Olympian, kind of like the same generation as Katie Taylor and Michaela Mayer. And she's not really as known as those two women. So we'll see what's in store for her in the near future. Now, on Saturday, October 14th, from Guadalajara, Mexico, Sanford Promotions gave us on Azteca Channel. Did you watch this fight, David? The Irma Sanchez?
No, I wasn't able to watch it.
I watched it today, actually. I wanted to kind of have it fresh in my mind. And, you know, David, obviously you've seen a lot more boxing than I have. And I've seen plenty of it in my 12-plus years covering this sport for various websites. I've never seen such a blatant robbery in all my life in boxing, whether it be male or female boxing. Irma Sanchez scored a split decision win over Brenda Ramos in a 10-rounder for the vacant interim WBA flyweight title. The scores were 97-94 and 96-94 for Sanchez, where Ramos took, she was given one of the cards, 96-94. But I watched the fight, and it would be, I would be hard pressed to give two rounds to Irma Sanchez. You know, the two rounds that you could have given to her were hotly contested, and if you're going to be generous, you would give her that round. But Brenda Ramos, I'm surprised she didn't knock her out. I mean, Brenda Ramos doesn't seem like she hits very hard because she landed everything. I mean, she, her right hand, even if she was just stretching her right hand, it was landing on Irma Sanchez's face. You know, there was no way that Brenda Ramos lost this fight whatsoever. I mean, the TV commentators who work for Azteca and who are closely knit to Sanford. Now, one thing that we do need to say here is that this fight card was promoted by it was a Sanford fight card, but basically they sold the date to a local promoter in Guadalajara. I forgot the name. I think it's RG Boxing, but RG Boxing is the brother of Hector Garcia, a very good promoter back in the day who had a lot of female fighters, including his wife, Irma La Güerita Sanchez. So, and they are from Guadalajara, Mexico. So it's a complete, total home-cooked decision. If you guys haven't seen this fight, it's on YouTube. Just put Irma Sanchez versus Brenda Ramos and just watch the fight. You could score. You could do whatever you want. You don't have to score. It's so obvious that Brenda Ramos scores the bigger, better, more punches throughout the whole fight, and she was blatantly robbed, and she's demanding for the rematch. But, you know, the WBA is the WBA, so we'll see what happens there. On the same card.
She's from up north, right? Brenda Ramos.
She's Mexican, but she's not from Guadalajara. So she's not the hometown fighter. She's from Torreon, I think, or somewhere in Monterrey. She's from Monterrey, actually. Monterrey, Nuevo León.
Oh yeah, she's a northerner.
Yeah, so she got robbed. So if you guys have a chance to watch it, go ahead and watch it. I would like to hear a bigger robbery that anybody has seen in boxing in the last 5 years, quite honestly. And on the same card, another hometown fighter, former interim WBA light flyweight champion, Jocelyn Arroyo, scored a six-round unanimous decision over Carla Valenzuela. Scores there were 60-54 and 59-54 two times. In the same night, this fight wasn't televised, but Jessica Neri Plata scored unanimous decision over Argentinian Maria Magdalena Rivera to capture the vacant WBF flyweight title, 97-93 two times and 96-94. So now she is a fringe world champion. She's a good fighter. She's trained by Mr. Nacho Beristain. So maybe she's been ranked in all the major sanctioning bodies, but she has not had an opportunity to fight for a world title just yet. So she decided to go after the WBF, and now she's their champion. In Slovenia, Emma Cousin scored a unanimous decision over Florence Muthoni in a 10-rounder to capture the vacant WBC International 160-pound title. Scores there were 99-91, 97-93, and 96-94. Whereas from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn in New York, the Bella Entertainment gave us Cindy Serrano scoring a split decision over Adina Kiss in an 8-rounder at featherweight. 79-73, 78-74 for Serrano, and 78-74 for Kiss. I know I didn't get to watch the fight. I don't think it was televised anywhere on Showtime Extreme or anything like that, but I did see some comments by her sister, who's going to be joining us in hopefully about 5 to 10 minutes, Amanda Serrano, where they felt that the split decision was just not the case. Did you see any of that, David?
No, I didn't get to catch her fight, but I did speak to them about that, and they felt it was a little absurd that one judge gave it to Adina Kiss.
And gave it to her pretty widely, 6-2, so
maybe it was a
hopefully,
mistake.
Yeah, maybe. So on Friday, October 20th, yeah, but usually they try to correct it afterwards. It's kind of strange that they haven't corrected it.
True.
Now, Friday, October 20th in Argentina, Brenda Karen Carvajal scored a unanimous decision over Maria Soledad Capriolo in a 10-rounder at Super Featherweight. Scores there were a dominating 100-90, 99-91, and 98-92. Whereas Daniela Bermudez, the conqueror of Mariana Barbie Juarez, scored a unanimous decision over Soledad del Valle Frias to score, to capture, David, the vacant WBO Bantamweight title. The vacant WBO Bantamweight title, the scores there were 193 times. So I don't see Barbie Juarez. I wouldn't be shocked and surprised that if Barbie Juarez gets past Alicia Graf in her next fight in November, being that she's such a competitor and so confident in herself, that she asks for the rematch against Bermudez and tries to unify the WBO title. What do you think?
It wouldn't be beyond fiction because that is the way Mariana is.
Yeah, that's the only reason that. Yeah, that, and she was, and in the first half of the fight, she was doing very, very well against Daniela Bermudez. But then she kind of lost it in the second half, being that it was her first fight in at the bantamweight division, and then and Bermudez was able to win the unanimous decision against Mariana Juarez. Was it this? It was last year, right? It wasn't this year.
That was last year, yeah. And it, ironically, that was the title that Amanda Serrano vacated.
Vacated, exactly. And now, moving on to October 21st, Zapopan, Jalisco, Promociones de Pueblo, gave us on Televisa, Ives Zamora, La Roca Zamora, longtime WBC light flyweight champion, moving up now to the flyweight division and earning the right to challenge the current champion, Jessica La Kika Chavez, by scoring a dominating unanimous decision over Isabel La Estrella Millan, former WBF flyweight champion and former world title challenger against Funioka. The scores were 192 times in 99-91. Millan conceded the loss, but she said that Zamora doesn't really hit hard. She actually posted a picture on her social network where she, after the fight, where she was clean, and she said, you know what? I lost the fight, but look at my face. It's clean. I didn't suffer anything. She doesn't hit all that hard. That's what Mayan said. And on the same night in Mexico, I was actually in Cuernavaca, Morelos, Sanford gave us an Azteca. Jasmine Rivas, the former WBC bantamweight champion, scoring a split decision over the previously undefeated Yareli Larios, daughter of former champion Oscar Chololo Larios, in a 10-rounder to capture the vacant WBC International Super Bantamweight title. And that was a pretty good fight. Rivas looked like she still had a little bit left in the tank. I think that Larios was a little bit overmatched. I think it was a little bit too early. She was only 12-0. And she's fighting a very, very, very experienced fighter in Jasmine Rivas. A Rivas that has, I think, close to 50 fights. And her pro debut was at 13 years old. So, you know, if you're going to try to beat Rivas, it ain't going to be with experience. Right, David?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She knows what she's doing. But I gotta hand it to Yareli for taking the fight. She had enough confidence to go up against her. And, she got a split decision, so that meant she did something.
Yeah, and she made it kind of like – she made it interesting there in the middle rounds and later on in the fight when Rivas was starting to slow down. Larios kind of was able to – I don't think it was a split decision. I think Rivas actually won the fight unanimously. But but they did give a split decision. So it is what it is. Now, Rivas did mention that she's looking to get back in position to rematch, to ask for the rematch against Amanda Serrano. So let's talk to Amanda once she calls in about that and see if she's even interested in something like that. Now, moving on to Norway, Cecilia Breakhouse scored a 6-round TKO with a big, big right hand. Not expected because Breakhouse is not known as a heavy one-punch knockout artist, but she did floor Michaela Loren in the 6th round of Schedule 10 and thusly defended all her titles, the WBC, the IBF, the WBA, the WBO welterweight titles. The time there was 1:39. David, Cecilia, we were kind of expecting it. I mean, we were expecting for her to win.
Oh, yeah.
Beat Michaela Loren, but I wasn't expecting her to knock her out in such a fashion.
Oh, I was.
Oh, really?
I was absolutely convinced that she's just going to crush her. Because she already knows what she can do. She she already knows that, you know, she's faster, stronger, everything. She didn't have to really worry that much about her. And I figured she would knock her out, just like she did last time.
Now, on the 21st, Layla MacArthur was scheduled to fight in Vegas on a non-televised card. The whole card wasn't televised, but it was put on by Mayweather Promotions in Sam's Town in Las Vegas. But then a couple days before, it was announced that she didn't have an appointment. She wasn't able to fight. So, you know, so here we are again trying to find out when Layla's going to get an opportunity to show her wares to hopefully drum up a fight against Cecilia Breakhouse. Now, looking at Michaela Lawrence's record, she's 29-5 with 13 knockouts, but she's only been stopped twice. And the other stoppage was by Cecilia Breakhouse. So she's lost to Cecilia Breakhouse twice, the first time by a 7th-round TKO and this last time in a 6th-round TKO. And then her other losses have been to Loli Munoz in Spain, which was a unanimous decision, which obviously somebody that was 10-10 when she fought Lawrence. So that's, she lost to Christina Hammer, but Hammer wasn't able to knock her out at middleweight or close to it. And then Clara Svensson wasn't able to knock her out either. So I don't know. Maybe Cecilia Breakhouse, one way or another, has Michaela Lawrence's number.
Oh, yeah. What, Cecilia Breakhouse is a better puncher than those other girls. She is. Clara Svensson has no punch. She's a slapper. Christina Hammer tends to slap at times. She does. She can punch, but she's kind of a safety first fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tends to not get you knockouts. Whereas Cecilia has learned how to not, she's learned how to put her body behind punches, and she's had a couple of knockouts, in, not in a row, but she did stop before she fought Fadia. She stopped, what's that girl from France? Mathis. And Sophie Mathis.
Sophia Mathis, yeah. And now, let me see here. Now, moving on, Switzerland, Aniya Seki scored a unanimous decision over Cleopatra Tolde in a 10-rounder for the WBC Silver Bantamweight title. Scored there were 193 times. So there you go. You got some Bantamweights there. You got Daniela Bermudez. You got this Aniya Seki. Could she be a future opponent for Mariana Juarez? Well, Jasmine Rivas moved up to 122, where she's campaigning. And then lastly, from San Francisco, California, Raquel Miller scored a first-round knockout against Lisa Garland in the sixth, in a scheduled 6th round. The official time was 2 minutes. It ended right in the first round. She scored a big right hand that basically just crushed Lisa Garland. Now, the rumor was that they were having trouble. Something was going on. We talked about this in our last show. We talked about how it was a step up for Raquel Miller. But then it looked like they were having some trouble with Lisa Garland getting there to the fight, medicals, one thing led to another. But Lisa Garland, right before the fight, posted on her social media that perhaps they were trying to get rid of her as the opponent because Raquel Miller allegedly was having trouble making weight. Now, they weighed in, and I believe Raquel Miller weighed in like a 157, and Lisa Garland weighed in at 155. So I don't know what the actual schedule weight was. Obviously, maybe it was 157, and Lisa Garland came in way less, or it was 155, and Raquel Miller came in heavy. The truth after beyond that, we don't know. Now, Lisa Garland, I think she's not a natural super welterweight. I mean, I think she's fighting closer.
Very experienced.
Yeah, very experienced, but I guess it just turned out that Raquel Miller was just too big and too strong, because it looks like looking at her record, Lisa Garland has fought anywhere from welterweight to from lightweight to super welterweight. So she's going up and down. Maybe her natural weight class is 140, 147, whereas Raquel Miller, she stays around 154 to 160.
Yeah.
So
I'm
she had
surprised by the knockout.
Yeah, it was quite, but she's landed a big right hand. I saw a video of it. It was like a handheld, you know, like a somebody in the crowd posted it, and it was a big right hand right on the jaw that stopped Lisa Garland in the first round. That's official time was 2 minutes, and that brings us to the end of our fight review. And now before we get a call from Amanda Serrano here, hopefully pretty soon, a little bit of fight chatter going on. One thing that we have noticed is that some fights are coming up, and we're going to talk about them in the calendar. But I believe that Maricela Cornejo has made it official somehow, somewhat in her social media, that she is the second woman signed by Golden Boy Promotions. Is that true, David?
The second woman this year.
Because Marlene got signed last year, didn't she? No, it was this year. Yeah, her first. No, you're right. It was this year because this year she fought in March on that ESPN card in Fantasy Springs, and then she fought in May. She fought in May with under the Canelo Chavez card, and then again in September again under the Canelo Golovkin card. So yeah, it was this year that Marlene Esparza was signed to Golden Boy. But now it hasn't been made official by Golden Boy yet. I mean, would you expect them to release a press release or some kind of statement?
I think they are going to be releasing it, but they are kind of like overwhelmed with a lot of things going on right now. They had like two shows simultaneously. They have another one coming up. I think they'll be announcing it really soon.
Now, along with the announcement, Maricela Cornejo did announce that she will be stepping back into the ring Cancun on November 16th. No opponent as of yet has been announced. And one thing that we did skip over, David, and I want to touch bases with you real quick, is that press conference between Cecilia Breakhouse and Micaela Loren, where Micaela Loren, again, something out of the ordinary. We've seen her, you know, kiss her opponent. We've seen her pour water on her opponent. We've seen her bring out a cake for her opponent. And this time, she went for the kiss again against Breakhouse, and Breakhouse didn't seem too happy with it.
Yeah.
Did you see that footage?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I actually had saw the video, and I was sent photos of it.
Yeah, and then I did notice that when they did the because that was a press conference, and then when they did the actual weigh-in, they kept them separate. They kept them pretty separate so that Micaela Loren wouldn't try something similar again. So Micaela Loren, let's see what is next for her. You know, what's next for her? She's lost some fights. Let me bring her up again, just so we could kind of go over what she's up there. She, no, as far as in age, I think she's 39 years old.
41.
She's 41? Let me see. Yeah, you're right. 41 years old. Actually, she's a little older than I am. 41 years old, 29-5, 13 knockouts, five losses. In her last five fights, she's lost twice. Not too bad. She beat Ivana Habazin via TKO in a third rounder. And then she lost to Clara Svensson, unanimous decision. Then she beat Silvia Sabatos with the TKO in the sixth round. Then she beat Keita Watkins with a unanimous decision. And then she just lost her bid for the IBF, the IBO, the WBA, WBC, WBO welterweight titles against Cecilia Breakhouse. I mean, one thing that we can expect from her is that she is pretty popular in Sweden, so we would expect for her to come back and fight in her home country and then build up to something. But, I mean, what do we see? Do we see her fighting Hannah Gabriel? Do we see her fighting at 154? Do we see her fighting – how far can she go? What is she going to do?
Yeah, I see her fighting Hannah Gabriel. I really do. I think that fight has been offered to them, if I'm not mistaken, and that Hannah just with somebody else. But I could see Hannah going to Sweden to fight over there, or having Micaela Loren go to Costa Rica.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she's going to take the rest of the year off, look for a fight in Sweden to come back and get on the winner's circle, and then go after one of those opponents. But now on the line with us should be none other than multi-divisional world champion, Miss Amanda Serrano. Let's patch her in. Amanda, is that you?
Yes, it's me. Hi, guys.
Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you as well. I'm going to pass the baton to none other than Mr. David Avila. David.
Amanda, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, David?
Very good. Very good. So you're selling a lot of tickets today.
Yes. Going crazy.
Sheesh. So that's the life of a female prize fighter is preparing
Definitely.
For a fight and helping to sell tickets. Who are you fighting next, and what can you tell us about her that you know?
Well, I'm fighting Marilyn Hernandez, which is she's a Dominican who's a former, I think, multiple world champion. I don't know much of her. I'm not the type of fighter who researches my opponents. I have my team do that for me. I just fight. I go in there. Jordan tells me what to do. My trainer, he tells me the game plan, and I perfected that night in the ring. So, I don't know too much of her. I know she's tough. She's a Latina like me, and she's a veteran over 36 fights, I believe, and that's pretty much it. But all I need to know is that she's a girl, and she has hands and legs, and I'm good to go.
What about fighting at Barclays again? Is that your favorite place to fight, or where does it rank among the places you fight at?
It's one of the greatest places to fight in. You know, I have my my hometown people, Brooklyn Knights, and it's always fun to fight on a big card. But it's always great to fight in Puerto Rico as well. But it's Barclays Center is awesome because I'm on the card of Deontay Wilder, which is a great heavyweight, and it's just fun being under those lights, and it's 10 minutes away from home, so that's a good part too.
So one of the things that maybe a lot of our listeners don't know is that you're going to be going into MMA, and it's probably one of the sadder announcements that we're going to make in this show, because you become this great fighter among the top two, in my opinion, female fighters in the world. You're going to be going into MMA. Is this going to be a permanent thing or a part-time thing, or what's going to happen?
As of right now, I'm not 100% leaving boxing. I mean, I love boxing. I've been in boxing for 10 years. I've accomplished pretty much everything I've done in boxing. I'm definitely going to MMA next year, 2018. I will be making my debut. I'm having talks with a great promotional company. I can't speak of that yet. After this fight, then I'll be able to, to announce who I'll be signing with. And, come next year, I will be moving to MMA. And if I'm not doing anything MMA and there's a boxing fight to defend a title or do something, then I will take up that offer. But, yeah, I've been training for about 2 years now for MMA, silently. But, we've been working really, really hard. I have a great team. I just signed with Misha Tate as one of my co-managers. And, she has opened many doors for me in the MMA community, and she's excited. She's been pushing me, and my whole team is excited. I have a great team, MMA team, who are, perfecting my strength and working on my weaknesses in MMA. So I'm ready. I'm excited for a new chapter in my career, my journey. And I hope that I can be just as successful as I have been in my boxing career.
Yeah, a lot of listeners don't know, but I've been talking with Amanda for like 2 months about this and trying to convince her to stay with boxing. I plead guilty.
Well, if everybody, if David, all the networks and promoters was as interested as you are in female boxing, then I'll be happy here. Yeah, I wouldn't have to go anywhere. But you know, boxing doesn't love me back the way I love it. So that's the frustrating part. So it's time to move on.
Yeah. So tell some of the listeners, what are some of the reasons that so many women are leaving boxing to go to MMA?
It's, you know, the recognition, the acknowledgement that women get for fighting, you know. It's just so much better. We have so much better opportunities. I mean, we are working harder, but, you know, it's so much better for the females. You know, we get sponsors, we get endorsements, we get, you know, I'm making my debut, I will be making more money than what I've been making to defend or even win a new title in boxing. So it's just like, I'm like, what am I still doing here? You know, I love this sport, but it's just not giving me back what I need. And it's just the opportunities in MMA, it's so much better. And they really look after their female athletes. And I think that's great for us, you know. And yeah, that's pretty much why I'm moving, you know. It's like I said before, I've been doing this for 10 years too long. I just turned 29 a couple of weeks ago. I believe I'm still young, I'm still strong. So my last hurrah, I'm going to give it my all to MMA, just like I did in boxing, and hopefully become an MMA champion as well.
Who are some of the fighters that you wish you could have fought before making this transition to MMA?
Like in boxing, I don't have like a checklist. Like, you know, I would have loved to fight, you know, the great champions. I would have loved to unify the my belt either at 122 or at 126 when I had it. But you know, at that point in my career when I did have, I mean, well, I still have the 122, but the money is not there, so we can't make these money fights. You know, these people don't, the networks, the promoters, they not, you know, offering what these girls want to hear. So it's not going to happen.
Yeah, the thing is, you had five divisions, and you were willing to fight anybody from 118 to even 140, because you were even trying to chase that sixth division world title, which a lot of people may not know.
Yeah,
so
actually, you had
all these people to choose.
Yeah, actually, this fight November 4th was supposed to be for the 140, the 6th division. But something happened with the girl from Argentina. I don't know if she was asking for too much money. I have no idea. So, you know, they pulled out, and the Bella really wanted me to fight on this card. So he was like, you know, let's just go for a non-title fight. Let's just, you know, just to keep you out there. So I was like, okay, I mean, I had nothing else to do, so I was training already. So I said, you know, okay, let's do it.
So what about your I know DiBella, you know, he's been behind you for the last couple of years, and has he kept that door open for you so you could come back if you want to into boxing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, me and DiBella, you know, he's an open book. He's a great guy. You know, he's definitely helped me out with my last couple of division fights. And, you know, he's a real advocate for female boxing, but, you know, he's only one person. He needs the networks to get behind him. He has done a great job putting me on Showtime Extreme. So, you know, I'm thankful and I'm blessed to have him by my side and my team. But, yeah, he's definitely open for, you know, for me coming back and going to MMA. So he's a great guy, and he's definitely helping me, my sister out, and yeah, he's there for us.
What would it take for them to bring you back to boxing? Would it take a certain amount of money or a certain amount of a big fight? Would it take a super fight like against you and Mariana Juarez, or?
I don't think like I said before, I don't think there's anything that's gonna, you know, bring me back. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I'm just looking for something new, something, you know. I've been really, really enjoying my transition into MMA. I've been learning great things. I have a great team. I've always had a great team, but we have new people in my team now. You know, the MMA trainers, Misha Tate, my new manager, and you know, she's coming down after my fight so we can work on new stuff. And you know, so I'm just excited. I feel like when I first started boxing, like a little kid again in a candy store. You know, boxing, I've been there's times and we didn't make anything in boxing and fights will fall off for no reason and it's just, you know, tiring. Sometimes I get mad at Jordan and he's like, there's nothing I can do, it's not my fault. So it was, you know, it's kind of frustrating, the sport boxing. It's still going to be my my number one love, but I think I found a new love.
Well, going back in memory lane, what are some of your favorite fights that you can recall and why?
My favorite fight has to be when I fought Ellen Nunez, I think all four times. She, you know, she is just a great competitor. She was a Boricua just like me. And we went to war all four times. But the best one has to be the last one. You know, that was the best Ellen Nunez ever came. She was in shape, and she asked for that fight. She actually called Jordan, and she said, listen, I'm with my old trainer, and I'm in the best shape of my life. She had just came from knocking out Jackie Trevolino, so she was, you know, she was on the uproar. So I was like, you know, let's do it. And we did it, and I was in Chicago, and whoa, that was a war. I mean, was the 8-round though? Or it was eight-round war, minute after minute. And it was great. And after the fight, you know, we hugged each other. We appreciated each other. We told each other that we love each other. And after that, she's down for it again. So, and after that, I became a multiple division world champion. So, you know, it made me a better fighter, a better person. After that fight, I was like, after that fight with Ellen Nunez, I can go with anybody.
Yeah, she's a very talented fighter, Ellen Nunez.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about her over here on the West Coast, but I've seen her, and she's very good, very good fighter.
She's tough as hell, and even taking her the first time when we got the draw, you know, Jordan was a little crazy because I had very not a big amateur background, and she was already, I believe, a former champion. She's fought great people the first time that I fought her. And we had another trainer working with us, and he told Jordan, he said, what are you crazy? So early in her career, why are you going to take this fight? And Jordan was like, I believe in her. So, and we got a draw, but it was, you know, it was a great fight. And then we went again, and Jordan was like, no. After the draw, I beat her. And Jordan felt that I could have stopped her. So he said, we're going to do one more. And I was the only person to ever stop Ellen Nunez. The third fight, I stopped her. And then she wanted the fourth one. I was like, oh, I should have just left it at the third. Because the fourth one was a war. But it was a good fight.
She's still fighting? I haven't seen her name.
Oh, that was the last fight. My fight in Chicago was the last fight.
How did that fight happen in Chicago?
My promoter at the time, Mario Boxing 360, he had a show over there in Chicago, so you know I was the main event. If you watch the fight, you'll see it. But on Google, if you Google my name versus Ellen Nunez, there's a picture that, oh, my God. It was like we just came out of a war. And I was like literally like 10 minutes after the fight. And my eye was nice and purple and big. And her face was unnoticeable. So it was just pictures say 1,000 words, but this one says 1,000,000. It was a great fight.
Well, what did you learn from the last fight with her?
That I can, like I said, I can go through anybody. If I lasted this far, I can go through anybody. You know, it was you know, I learned that I do have stamina to go all 8 rounds hardcore like that, and that I can take a punch. And well, I know I can give a punch, but definitely, because she, you know, she caught me a couple of times, but I could take a punch. And also, the Yasmin Rivas fight was a great fight, you know, in all around, because it was the first time in over 10 years that girls were on Showtime Extreme on a big network like that, and she came to fight as well. You know, it was a great fight, and I was able to showcase that I'm able to box, that I'm not just, you know, a knockout puncher, that I go out there and brawl. I can box as well. So I was able to show both styles.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't really know much about Yasmin Rivas on the East Coast, but we knew about her on the West Coast, and we knew she was a tough girl, very tough. And she has a lot of experience, been fighting since she was, 13 years old?
Yeah. And then actually that leading up to that fight, she's been 10 rounds 23 times. I only had been 10 rounds once. And, you know, she had, you know, we knew she was going to take us the distance. I mean, we was hoping for the knockout, but I was like, oh, it wasn't coming. And plus, I hit my hand that fight. So I said, you know what? I'm going to change it up to show everybody. You know, everyone always had that question. Oh, what happens after the fourth round with Amanda Serrano? Will she be able to handle it? Will she? So I was able to answer all those critics' questions. Yeah, I was able to go 10 rounds. And the 10th round, I was wailing punches. We both were wailing punches. I think I answered those questions.
Yeah, you landed some really good blows early in the fight. And I was even surprised that Rivas was able to take some of those shots.
Yeah, she's never been stopped. You know, she's a warrior. She's a great Mexican, and she definitely has a nice hard head that hurt my hand. Like, that's the only thing that hurt me that day.
Let me transfer you over to Felipe. I know he has a million questions. Felipe, go ahead.
Thank you, David. Amanda, so...
Yeah.
It sounds. I mean, you say that you want to come back to boxing, but you're at the pinnacle of your career, your boxing career right now. David mentioned, you know, we consider you one of the top two best fighters in the world, and the big fights have not come yet. So by the sound of it, you just don't want to say goodbye. But it sounds like in your mind, like what I'm listening to you, you're gonna give it your all, which is perfect to the MMA, and it's gonna be very, very tough to get you back. So with that said, do you wish that this fight, which may or may not be, but at least for a little while, is gonna be your last fight in a boxing ring, that it was a bigger fight, a more meaningful fight, maybe defending your title or getting the title? You mentioned that this should have been for the sixth title, and it's not. So is that a little bit of a downer that it's not a bigger fight against a bigger name?
Of course it is. You know, I mean, I would definitely like to leave the sport in a nice hurrah. But like I said before, this was supposed to be for my sixth division. But, it's going to be a bittersweet day. You know, I'm going to go out there. Hopefully I'm going to stop this girl and just leave it open for – I'm going to leave boxing and start MMA hopefully the same way. So that's in my mindset. You know, I'm going to go out, give it my all, like I've always done in all my fights. Give the fans what they're looking for, and just fight with everything, and then just continue to work on MMA. And like I said, I'm always open for if a good fight comes along, then yeah, I'm in it. But I'm gonna give 100% to MMA, like I've been doing with boxing.
Now, You mentioned you have a good team. You're building your MMA team. You got Misha Tate, who is a known name in the MMA world. Obviously, Jordan is going to go along with you, and then your other MMA coaches and all that. And you're talking to a promoter. And you mentioned that one of the frustrating things about boxing is, you know, fights falling out and not being able to stay busy enough. How busy are they going to keep you in MMA? Are we seeing, you know, Holly Holm not fight that often? We've seen Heather Hardy, who's also done the transition from boxing to MMA, not fight that often. Have they promised you to keep you busier in MMA than you have been lately in boxing?
Yeah, they ask for, you know, three fights for the year, but then again, I'm getting more money, so it's not like in boxing where I have to keep fighting to make money, to make ends meet, to, you know, to be able to buy food, for pay rent, pay bills. So, you know, with the MMA, they are paying more money, but it's only three times a year, which is okay for me because I'm still going to be learning. And I, like I said, I want to be perfect. I want to be one of the best. I want to be able to be a MMA world champion as well. So, you know, I don't mind having less fights while I'm learning.
Now, what weight are you going to be campaigning at in MMA?
Well, we're going to set up 125 and maybe 115. We you know, toss up between those two, but definitely the first fight should be 125.
And what has been the hardest part so far in MMA to learn? I mean, is it the ground game? Is it the kicking? I mean, the striking, obviously, nobody can touch you. Nobody would be able to touch you in the striking, but then, you know, there's also kicks involved and all that. So what is it, what's costing you? And obviously you're learning and you're going to try even harder to perfect it. But what is, has been the one aspect of it that is causing you a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, like switching my style, because the boxing and the striking for MMA is totally different. When I started the striking with the MMA, I was like, wait, but I can't do this in boxing. But wait, I'm used to this, I'm used to that. So that, like, changing my whole style of my stands and my punches. Like, we use very, very few punches. We don't have, like, the whole arsenal of punches that we use in boxing. So it's just different. And when they started changing my style up a little bit, I was like, holy crap, I'm not used to this. So that's why it's hard for me to stay. Yeah. So that's why it's hard for me to stay in boxing, because in boxing I have to, you know, keep my right foot out further than, you know, like keep my boxing stance, stay hidden a little bit, like Mayweather. In MMA, I have to be a little squared off when I throw my punches, so just in case someone shoots in, I know how to sprawl, I can get away from it. So just that alone is a little, you know, frustrating for me, because I'm so used to being sideways where it's harder for you to hit me. But in MMA, I have to be a little more elusive, and plus I can't be too aggressive in MMA, because, you know, there are kicks coming, and if I get in close, they're able to grab me and bring me down to the floor. So, you know, I can be my aggressive self, but I can do my body shots, my favorite body shots, because once I get in for a body, they're going to grab my neck, and they're going to clinch me, and they're going to take me out. So there's so many different aspects in boxing and MMA. People, you know, just jump in, they say, oh, I'm a great striker, so I'm just going to go into MMA. No, I'm learning so much different things that MMA requires. You can't just be a great striker and go into MMA. So, and that's definitely what Misha Tate taught me, and her trainer's been teaching me and telling me, you know, yeah, you can be a great striker, but you have to be an all-around fighter. This is MMA. There's going to be kicks. There's going to be, you know, clinches. They're going to be pulling you down. They're going to be doing this. It's totally different. So that's just not frustrating, but that's what's been I've been practicing a lot on, and yeah, but we've been doing so well. I have great trainers teaching me, and yeah, we've been working on like takedown defenses and just working on my strengths and building up my weaknesses.
Now, we all know that you're a warrior, and actually when you guys mentioned that picture of you and Ella Nunez, I actually Googled it, and I did see your eyes all purple, and her face is all messed up. But like you mentioned, you know, you have to be a different type of fighter in MMA. There's kicks. There's all kinds of stuff. Now, this last weekend, I believe it was, Heather Hardy had her second fight, or I think maybe even third fight. I'm not 100% sure. Second fight in MMA. She lost, and she lost bad. You know, she got kicked to the face, broke her nose, stitches. When you saw that, we know you're a warrior, but in the back of your mind, did you have second thoughts and say, wow, if I get a kick like that in the face, what's going to happen? You know, because that's not something you expect in boxing. You never expect a kick.
Yeah. No, not really. You know, it kind of motivated me more, because it shows that, I mean, now all eyes are going to definitely be on me now when I transition. So, you know, I have to work harder. But, yeah, Heather landed some punches on the girl, but it just, you know, it just didn't do anything. The girl went pretty much right through them. I believe I have a little more, you know, power than these girls. And I believe that if I was, you know, I'm hitting these girls with 8-ounce gloves, and I have 25 knockouts, one of the highest knockout percentage in boxing. So imagine taking off 4 ounces and hitting a girl with 4 ounces. I mean, I'm hoping it's a lot more damaging to the girl, and they will be more afraid of coming in. And definitely, I've been sparring with great MMA fighters, undefeated Muay Thai fighters, kickboxers. So this is MMA. I think I'm ready for everything that they're going to throw at me. literally like kicks and punches, and I've been doing a lot of sparring. So yeah, I think I'm ready I've been knocking out girls sparring and MMA. So I think I'm all around. I'm not like these other girls. I've accomplished a lot of stuff in boxing, so I'm not to be compared to these girls, I believe.
David?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too, about the man was talking about the stances. I remember when I was covering MMA, and I asked Chuck Liddell, and this is when he was fighting at UFC, and I said, how can we stand like that? And he told me that, you know, basically the boxers have a more closed stance, and then the MMA, you have this goofy, wide apart stance. And he explained why. And I said, oh, that's why. Prevent takedowns and things like that. And I said, it made sense. And after that, I realized that stance is everything. You know, it's everything in boxing. It's everything in MMA. So
yeah,
it's
because my lean leg will be so easy to catch for a wrestler to shoot in and grab that leg. So, you know, you have to be aware of that too. And then with the kicks, you get the free kicks with that leg. And that's just a target, my front leg. So we have to learn how to back up with it, switch, and be square. So, yeah, we're learning all that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it is going to be another adventure for you. Being a fighter that you are, you're probably going to enjoy it. But I know it's going to be a whole different adventure. I mean, even for your trainer, even for I'm sure that even the trainer is finding these striking positions a little different too.
Yeah, no, my trainer, he loves me. He's like, because I've been, you know, he's been teaching me stuff, and I've been doing it and sparring, and he's just impressed. He's like, wow, you're a fast learner. And I've learned that from Jordan. He's, you know, he taught me to give him my all in training, and just, you can't take me out of the gym. And, you know, especially now doing a new sport, I'm definitely trying to continue to learn, and I just want to be the best I can.
Well, at least I'm getting a little excited about MMA.
Yeah. All right, David. Well, let's let Amanda go. It's almost 11 o'clock out there in Brooklyn. I'm sure she has some running to do tomorrow morning, some more training. So, Amanda, we thank you again for joining us here on the two-minute round. You know, you've probably been the guest that we had the most frequently here on the show. We love having you here. And even when you make your transition to MMA, we would love to have you here and have us talk to us about that experience and go from there, even though we're not an MMA show, but you'll always be a friend of the two-minute round.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for taking time out to speak to me. And, yeah, hopefully you're still excited for me in my MMA career as you are in my boxing, you know, because I'm going to make it exciting too, and I'm not going to let you guys down, and I'm still going to be your favorite number one fighter.
Thank you, man. We'll be following
great.
You. Good night,
okay,
Amanda.
Good
night to Jordan.
Bye.
Good night to Jordan.
Bye, Amanda.
Okay. Bye.
All right, folks, and there you have it, Miss Amanda Serrano, five-divisional boxing world champion, and now making her transition to MMA. She left the door open to boxing. But, David, by the sound of it, I mean, if she's not getting the big fights now, and she makes the transition to MMA, I mean, why would, like, a Jelena Miranovic call her after she has been fighting MMA for a year? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I'm sure she's going to be making a lot more money. It's going to be hard to take less money to fight just as hard
yeah,
in
that's,
boxing.
Yeah, you're right. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, you know, they would have to offer even more money than they're offering her now because they were going to have to compete with those MMA purses. So it's going to be pretty hard, but we wish her all the luck, and hopefully she does great in MMA, and she proves that, you know, that boxers can fight in MMA better than, you know, MMA guys can fight in boxing with what we saw with Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's been
she's
proven to
a
certain
athlete,
extent.
So.
Yeah, she's a great athlete. It's been proven to a certain extent. I mean, look what Holly Holm did. I mean, she beat the queen of MMA, who was Ronda Rousey. She lost two times in a row after beating Ronda Rousey. I'm not a big follower of MMA, but like Amanda said right now, you know, when it's female boxers or even, well, not male boxers, because male boxers haven't, I mean, we've seen James Toney try and he got, you know, it was a joke. And I think somebody else tried, another male fighter, I forgot who tried, and it was a joke. But the female fighters have somewhat excelled. I mean, Heather Hardy got knocked out. It was pretty brutal. Anna Houlton, who fought as well, I think, last weekend, she got beat. And Heather Holmes has been the bigger name that has made the transition and has succeeded. And now we're going to see if Amanda Serrano can do it. She didn't mention the promotional company. I don't know if it's going to be UFC with Misha Tate as the co-manager. You would think that that would have a little bit of pull. Hopefully it is the UFC because that is the biggest platform of that sport.
It might be Invicta or somebody like that.
Bellator or something. Oh, Invicta is that an all-female one too, yeah. Moving on to our fight preview of what's coming up next. We do have a bunch of fights. And actually tonight on Thursday, October 26th, from the Caribe Convention Center in Haiti, it should have already happened, although I haven't seen anything as far as results. But the current WBC Silver Super Featherweight Champion, Melissa St. Ville, also a good, good friend of the show, went over to her home country of Haiti to face Edith Ramos in an 8-rounder at the Super Featherweight division. I think it was going to be some kind of a benefit for Mexico, for the earthquakes in Puerto Rico. So I think it should already happen. It's in the East Coast, Haiti. So hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to catch that that result. And on Saturday, October 28th, in France, Anne Sophie Da Costa will be facing Justine Lalemann in a 10-rounder at light flyweight. And in China, Zhang Yu Kai will be facing Filipino Gretchen Abaniel in a 10-rounder while she defends her IBF 105-pound title. This is on Saturday. And from the Principality Stadium in Cardiff, Wales, in UK, Matchroom Boxing gives us Anaí Esther Sánchez of Argentina defending her WBA 135-pound title against none other than Katie Taylor. So would it be a little bit more than a year, David? Has it been a year that Katie Taylor made her pro debut and now she is fighting for her pro world title?
I think it has been a year. Yeah, I think it's been a year. Because she came on right after she came right after Clarissa started, which was in November. It's going to be a year.
It's going to be interesting, David, because she's 6-0 with 4 knockouts. She did make her pro debut in November 26th of 2016, so it hasn't been quite 11 months. Her first fight was scheduled at 6 rounds. She stopped Karina Kapinska in 3. Then she went the full 6 rounds against Vivian Obinoff. Then she was scheduled for another 6-rounder but stopped Monica Gentili in 5. Then she went the full 8 rounds against Milena Koleva. And then she stopped in her first 10-rounder, she stopped Nina Menke in the 7th. And then in an 8-rounder, she stopped Jasmine Clarkson in 3. So the longest she's ever gone is 8 rounds. And now she's going to be fighting Anaí Esther Sánchez in a scheduled 10-rounder. Yeah, Anaí Esther Sánchez is 17-2, 9 knockouts. She's only been stopped once, and it was by Maiva Hamadouche in France. She also lost to Eva Wallstrom. But she, if one thing that she does have as far as experience over Katie Taylor is that she has gone 10 rounds multiple times. She did it against Diana Santana. She did it against Tamara Marianela Nunez. She did it against Eva Wallstrom in that loss. She's done it about 3 or 4 times. So she's coming off a win over Cecilia Sofia Mena, where she captured the vacant WBA title. So this is going to be her first defense of the title. Katie Taylor, I'm going to go that we're going to have a new world champion come Saturday night.
Well, yeah. Basically, to me, Katie Taylor is very, very good. She doesn't really have power. She overwhelms people. and I can see her overwhelming the Argentine girl and the referee stopping it. Because all of her fights have been stoppages. They haven't necessarily been real knockouts. So I can see a trigger happy referee stopping the fight very early.
Oh, especially it's going to be out in the UK. So
yeah, it's going to be in Wales. So I can see them stopping like a third or even a second round if she starts unleashing 12 punches.
Yeah,
you know.
And she does it. You know, she has all these angles and she has this amazing repertoire of punches. She goes to the body, she goes to the head. I mean, it all would take a couple of combinations, 3-4 punch combinations where Sanchez doesn't do much in return, and that could prompt the referee to stop the fight. Hopefully they let it go a little bit, you know, hopefully it's not an early stoppage just so that we could have a nice non-controversial win for Katie Taylor. But that's going to be on Saturday night. I'm sure if you have some way of watching it from the UK, that's on the undercard of that Anthony Joshua, Carlos Takam fight on Saturday night. I don't think it's going to be – is it going to be on Showtime, on Extreme or something?
Just a couple of fights. But I talked to somebody from Showtime. They said they might just show the highlights of Katie Taylor.
Yeah, but if you've got a way of watching the Box Nation feed, then you'll be able to watch the whole thing. Because this fight card was supposed to be pay-per-view in the UK, and they actually switched it to regular Sky Sports or something because of the change of the opponent for Anthony Joshua. So I have a way of watching it, so I'm going to look for it and see if I can watch the fight. On the same night, Foxwood from the Foxwood Resort in Mashantucket, Connecticut, the Bell Entertainment gives us the return of Shelley Vincent, who actually made her way to the weigh-in for Heather Hardy's MMA fight. I don't know if you saw this, David, and was calling her out. Shelley Vincent wants that rematch against Heather Hardy. She's asking for it. I mean, for her to actually go out to wherever that fight was and call out Heather Hardy at the weigh-in for an MMA fight, that's commitment right there from Shelley Vincent. And she is going to be facing Calixta Salgado, who is a veteran, who is a well-known, who's fought Amanda Serrano. She's fought Cindy Serrano in an 8-rounder at 130 pounds this Saturday night.
I'm glad she's back because she hasn't fought a lot since that fight.
I think she fought one time after Heather Hardy, and then since then we have not seen her.
Yeah, good. That's good that she's back in the ring.
Let's see real quick. Actually, she's fought twice since Heather Hardy. She fought Marquita Lee, scored a unanimous decision. Then she fought Angel Gladney and scored a unanimous decision there. And this is going to be her third fight. This is going to be her third fight. 38-year-old Shelley Vincent, 20 wins, 1 loss, only 1 knockout. Who was the knockout? It was against Elisa McPhee back in 2013. She stopped her in the 4th round of a scheduled 6. So, she doesn't hit hard, but she throws a lot of punches, Shelley Vincent. Now, Thursday, November 2nd, from Medellin, Colombia, Mayerlin Rivas will be facing Diana Cordero for the WBA Bantamweight in a 10-rounder. And from the Casino del Sol in Tucson, Arizona, Golden Boy Promotions on ESPN. I'm not sure if it's going to be televised, but she is on the fight card, and I would expect that she would be, at least as a swing bout, Miss Marlene Esparza, former 2012 bronze medalist in the Olympics, and she has scheduled as her opponent Carla Valenzuela in a scheduled 6-rounder at 112 pounds. But like I was mentioning to you, David, before the show started, it looks like that opponent might not be a solid opponent because it looks like they are looking for an opponent for Marlene Esparza for November 2nd. Now, Valenzuela is coming off a 6-round loss to Jocelyn Arroyo back in on October 14th. She went the distance, the 6 rounds. Arizona, as far as the commission is concerned, I think that if you haven't been knocked out in your last 3 fights or in the last 12 months, they allow you to fight. And she is very, I mean, her record is not great. It's a losing record, but she has a lot more experience than as far as a professional than Marlene Esparza. Marlene Esparza is 3-0, whereas Carla Valenzuela is 3 wins, 16 losses, 3 draws with 1 knockout. She's been stopped 4 times, but she hasn't been stopped since 2015 when Tijuana's own Sandra Robles stopped stopped her in the last round of Schedule 8. She's faced a pretty good opposition. She faced Diana Laura Fernandez, who is a former title challenger. She faced Araceli Palacios, who last fought. She fought Marlene Esparza. Yeah, she fought her. Who else? She fought Sandra Robles, like I mentioned. Isabel Millan, Ana Huletan. So she's faced a pretty good Jocelyn Arroyo, who was a former inner WBA champion. So even though her record doesn't show much, it's a little bit of a step up for Marlene Esparza, don't you think, David, as far as experience is concerned?
Yeah, well, it, as far as her opposition, but she should be ready because Marlon's been fighting in the international circuit for many, many years. So she should be ready for that type of competition.
Yeah, I agree with you. And let's see if this opponent stays, it continues to be the opponent, because like I mentioned, I've heard some inklings there that they're looking for another opponent. Now, Friday, November the 3rd from Argentina, Deborah Anaí Dionisios will be defending her super flyweight IBF title against a to-be-announced opponent. No opponent there yet. And also on that same Friday, November 3rd, but in Westminster, Colorado, Brittany Cruz will be facing Patricia Pato Juarez in a six-rounder at super bantamweight. Patricia Juarez is the sister of Mariana and Lourdes Juarez from Mexico City. So Patricia Juarez making her name out there in Colorado, where she makes her home. On Saturday, November 4th, from Munich, Germany, Christina Hammer will be defending her WBA and WBC middleweight titles against Jiffy Amanua Ankara in a 10-rounder. Now, with Christina Hammer winning this fight, which she should because this opponent has 7 wins, 4 losses, so I don't even know how she gets a shot at a title. You know, do we expect a Christina Hammer versus Clarissa Shields fight in early 2018?
I think so. I think you can put a lock on that.
And now, Clarissa Shields, I think she is going to be fighting later on this year, or do you think she's done for the year?
I heard that she's fighting one more time.
In December, right? That's what I was. I heard something that maybe in December. It wasn't going to be, I don't think it was going to be a title fight, but she is going to get back in the ring, I think, in her hometown of Detroit.
Yeah, she is supposed to be having one more fight, and then they're going to probably match up Hammer with Shields, which is a great fight. That is going to be a great fight.
That's going to be a good fight. Now, on Saturday, November the 4th, from the Gimnasio Municipal in Ciudad Juárez, Promociones del Pueblo, Quince San Televisa, here in Mexico, Lourdes La Pequeña Lulu Juárez, the aforementioned sister of Mariana Juárez, will be facing former title challenger Diana Laura Fernandez in a 10-rounder.
Wow.
Lourdes will be defending her WBC Feckenbox 112-pound title. That's a pretty good fight. That's a little bit of a step-up fight, even though Diana Laura is coming off a loss out in Argentina where she challenged for the title.
Yeah.
They are going to be fighting in her hometown. Fernandez is from Ciudad Juárez, so Lourdes, even though being the A side, they are going to be going, she's going to be going to the Lions Den and facing the hometown fighter in her hometown. So that's going to be pretty interesting. Lourdes Juárez, go ahead.
And Fernandez is not a bad fighter. She's a
She's like 15-16-1. Yeah, so that's going to be the on paper the best opponent that Juarez has beaten if she beats her. And let's see what happens. I mean, Juarez is promoted by the home by the promoter Promociones del Pueblo. That's her promoter. But their whole headquarters is Ciudad Juarez, where Fernanda is going to be the hometown fighter. So Juarez is not going to be the favorite fighter of the crowd. So let's see how
Battle of the Beauties.
Yeah, Battle of the Beauties, because both of them are very good-looking women. And now, same night from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, the Bella Entertainment, we're going to have our guest for tonight's show, Miss Amanda Real Deal Serrano, facing Marilyn Hernandez in an 8-rounder, 122-pound division. Like Amanda said, this might be her last fight in boxing for a while, if not ever. So hopefully...
Sandy.
Yeah, very sad news, but let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's give boxing and her the benefit of the doubt, and hopefully she comes back sometime in the future. And lastly, the same night, November 4th, from the Silver Eagle Gun Arena in Ashburn, Virginia, Tyresha Douglas will be facing Crystal Hoy in a 10-rounder at flyweight, and Tori Nelson will be going against a TBA and a 10-rounder at 168 pounds. Now, David, I've heard the name Tori Nelson before. I haven't really, like, looked at her. I don't think I've ever watched one of her fights just because I haven't had a chance.
Good fighter.
But
good fighter.
She's undefeated. She's undefeated.
She's older. She's older.
She's 16-0 with three. 30s. She's 41, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
16-0 with three draws, one knockout. So is it her age the reason why we don't hear Clarissa Shields mention her?
Partly, probably. You know, there's only negatives. If she beats her, they say she beat an older person. If she loses, then she wasn't that good. It's kind of like there's no win in beating her. So
I think they're waiting
for is Nelson to beat somebody good, somebody else.
But she's beating some names. She beat Callie Reed. She beat Mia St. John. She beat Victoria Cisneros. She beat Keita Watkins. I mean, not opponents, but tough opponents. And in her last fight, she beat Alicia Napoleon.
Yes, she did. That was kind of a surprise to a lot of people that thought Napoleon would beat her.
I don't know. I mean, if anything, I mean, age is just but a number. You know, we've seen great fighters, female fighters fight well be into their 40s. I mean, we've seen Alicia Ashley do it. We've seen Jolene Blackshear do it. I mean, Michaela Lauren just at 41 years old just challenged the best female fighter in the world. Many consider, not you, I know that, but a lot of people consider Cecilia Breakhouse the best fighter in the world at 41 years old. So, you know, I mean, 16-0, three draws, one knockout, 168 pounds. You know, I'm sure she's ranked in the top five of the WBC. Why not fight Tori Nelson in December? You know, now maybe not because Tori Nelson is fighting on November 4th. But if they don't find an opponent for her and that fight falls through, why not fight Clarissa Shields?
Yeah, I guess that's up to Clarissa Shields' team. Whether or not they take it. Or actually, that's a good question for her promoter, Dimitri Salida.
Yeah, so or maybe they have
conversations.
Yeah, or maybe even have, or maybe we give Clarissa Shields the benefit of the doubt, and maybe they have made offers to Tori Nelson, and for whatever reason, Tori Nelson has not accepted them. We don't know. But when I was looking it up and seeing it, I'm like, wow, this girl is undefeated and you know, at super middleweight, you know. Why not? Why not fight Clarissa Shields?
Yeah, that's the fight that's there. That's for her taking.
Okay, folks, so we reached the end of the last number 35 episode of the 2-Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female boxing world. We're going to be going over all these fights that we mentioned in our preview, all the fights that are going to be happening all throughout the world, in China and Argentina, here in the United States and Mexico. And then also, if we have any more fight chatter of things that are coming up, as well as the exclusive interview, we will have it for you on our next show scheduled for November 9th. So, David, with that said, good night to you and good night to our audience.
Yes, good night, everybody.